Welcome to the Private Practice with Soul podcast. My name is Dr. Brooklyn Storm, and I help private practice owners align their business back with their soul's calling, with their big vision, and with their soul's purpose. Unlike other private practice coaches, I've traveled the world in search of spiritual resources, spiritual tools, education, and information so that you can have the transformation that your soul desires and needs, so that you can up-level your business. How much fun is this? I love it so much. Guys, if you're not already a member of the Private Practice Monthly Mentorship Group, please check out the show notes. I would love for you to be there. In the meantime, thank you so much for pushing play today. Let's begin. Good morning, everybody, and happy Saturday. I hope that you're all having a really lovely start to the weekend. So today is not going to be about anything quantum. We've had two episodes on that. Today is going to be a very, very practical episode, and it's especially for those of us who are in private practice. And perhaps we are needing referrals, or we've noticed some changes or some differences. Now, I know there's a whole bunch of us that are overrun with referrals, but there's also, remember, there's two ends of the stick. There's also other people who have barely any, and it's not their fault. I just don't know how to market, or they're just marketing incorrectly. So if you're somebody who's fully booked and you've got your wait lists, maybe turn this episode off. It's not going to be for you. But if you're somebody who's looking at just starting, or if you're somebody who has been in private practice for a while now and you have availability in your diary and you would really, dearly, truly, really love for that to be filled, then this is absolutely the episode for you to listen to. So I hope that you're going to love it. I want to honor and acknowledge everyone who's pushed play on another episode. Thank you so much. We're at 23,000 downloads now, which is, hang on, I'm just going to cough. Sorry about that, which is amazing considering this podcast is a niche within a niche within a niche within a niche. So anybody who says you're going to miss out if you niche, that's, yeah, talk to me. And I want to, of course, welcome all of the new subscribers to the show. So here's the thing. As we know, yes, it's a pandemic, et cetera, et cetera. We also know if you're somewhere in Australia and, you know, I'm in Victoria, so we've got the label now of the most locked down city. You know, we've still got curfews, don't know why. We've still got all of these restrictions and stuff like that is happening. And more recently, we have this sort of, well, it's a sense of segregation. The two words that are being used in the media at the moment are segregation and apartheid, which refer to, you know, people who have had a vaccination and people who hadn't. But that's not what this episode is about. This episode is about the impact of that on our practice and what it means for you, because over the last maybe 2 or 3 days, I've had about 10 or 11 messages from private practice owners saying that they're no longer able to provide face-to-face services for clients who are not fully vaccinated. And some of these therapists are not fully vaccinated themselves. And so what's happening is we're seeing a little bit of a shift here, and we've got some drama happening. So I want to support everybody, because even if you're fully vaxxed, you might have a high client load that's not, and vice versa. And that's going to affect, if you're predominantly face-to-face, that's going to, you know, seriously restrict your ability to deliver services in a way that aligns with your values and your ethics and your integrity, of course. And it means that it's going to have a ripple effect to your profitability for the practice, or the money that you're receiving for the practice, sorry. And so I want to help you navigate that. There will be some of you who have to go to the online space, and I'm entirely online. I love it. My clients are fine with it. It hasn't been an issue. As you know, I transitioned to entirely online at the start of COVID last year. I think it was the beginning of April. So, and I had a 94.2% conversion rate from face-to-face to online. And it just worked out really, really well for me. So I was lucky, but I had a process for doing it. And this is important because you might find yourself in the process of having to, take clients who you've been seeing face to face to online, okay, due to things that are perhaps beyond your control at this point in time. So there's that. And the other thing is, you know, how are you going to fill your diary with referrals at the moment? Okay, so let's get on to that. This is so much fun. I love this so much. Okay, so rewind. We go into some of the counselors groups. Okay, and there's psychologists in there and social workers and coaches and counselors. Everybody's in these groups, right? And you're seeing that lots of people are going to doctors' clinics and they're complaining about it. I know what that's like. I was one of those people. I had different experiences though, and that's for another episode. If you've been following me for a while, you know exactly what I'm talking about. But anyway, and the thing is, like they're saying in these groups, oh, you know, that doesn't work. I went to 10 doctors' clinics last year and I took my brochures and I took my flyers and I took a lunch and I didn't get a single referral. And they'll say all of this. And do you know what? I read that and I feel my vibe just sort of start to sink. And so I have to, you know, consciously try and keep my vibration up. And the way that I do that is by reminding myself that, hey, they didn't know what they were doing, and or they didn't know, you know, what's worked for me because I haven't shared it. And so I raise my vibe by thinking, hey, I can help this person by sharing what they don't know. A lot of the time we tend to look around at what everybody else is doing and we try and mimic it because we think, oh, if it worked for, you know, Jane Doe, then it's gonna work for me. And it doesn't. And the reason that it doesn't is because Jane Doe's got her own energy that she's imprinting onto her approach, and you can't mimic Jane Doe's energy, right? Whatever's going to work for her works for her. So, you know, I think when you try and mimic or implement somebody else's process, you have to also bring your own energy to it, and that will give it its own spin, and that's what's going to be magnetic, and that's how you're going to get your referrals. So what's happening that people are doing wrong, the mistakes are, and I know this because I used to train people to have these doctors' meetings. I've seen it firsthand. Doesn't matter what background you're from. They will go to the clinics and they will take the lunch and they will lay out all of their pens. I did this too, so if you've done this, don't stress. But they'll lay out all of the pens, all of the fridge magnets, the coffee cups, the flyers, the handouts, all of this sort of stuff, right? And then the doctors will sort of come in and they're busy, you know, and they're kind of feeling like they're forced to be in the room. And so, you know, they barely look at you a lot of the time. They just want to eat the food and pick at that. And they'll ask you a few cursory questions. And what will happen is, these private practice owners will just spend, you know, 10 or 15 minutes really banging on about my practice this, I that, my this, my that. And then the doctors just get up and leave. And of course, that private practice owner rarely, if ever, hears from them again. And then they say, these meetings don't work. As I said, that happened to me in the past. I figured it out. I figured it out through the lens of being authentic. I figured it out through the lens of what felt right for me and having these meetings in integrity. I figured it out through the lens of a spiritual framework with the view of, well, we're all connected and we're all equal. And I figured it out through energy work, which is what I want to share with you today. So this is the process that I teach people in the Australian Counsellors in Private Practice online group. So this podcast is, you know, amazing for them, but it's also something that I want you to be aware of as well, because of course I want to help as many people as I can. So here's the process I've created that has a really high success rate that I'm happy for you to go away and tweak and use as your own. But I would love to hear how you go with it. I'd love to hear results if you use it. Okay. So First off, you're going to book the appointment with the doctors, okay? That's the first thing that you're going to do. So you just ring the clinic and, you know, say, oh, well, I'm a therapist, I'm a private practice owner working locally, and I'd really love to come and meet the doctors and introduce myself and get to know them. The receptionist there will refer it on to the practice manager usually, who will then book out a lunch spot, and you will be requested often to bring lunch. My advice for you is to take a lunch where you can, that's either vegetarian, vegan, or halal, because, you know, you can get carried away. Like, I got caught out with all the dietary restrictions and it cost me a small fortune that I didn't have. I had to like put it on my credit card because there were like 20 doctors or something at this clinic and 3 were vegetarian, 6 were vegan, you know, 8 were halal. It was just, and I accommodated all of that. What I know now is just get everything halal and vegetarian and be done with it. Fruit platters work really well too. That's a little tip. And wraps. Anyway, so you book your lunch, okay? And then all you're going to do is you are going to do a little meditation or a reflection or a journaling exercise about setting an intention. You want to set that really super powerful intention. What do I want to, you know, what's my intention for this meeting with the doctors that's coming up? And you're just going to either visualize it and use all of your senses in that. Imagine what you would like to experience. Imagine the conversations, imagine the vibe of the room, and really try and be a fly on the wall and look at what you're doing and how they're reacting and responding and those sorts of things. In your journal, if you're journaling this through, I want you to really just free write for as long as you can, about as much as you can. The more detail you can put in this, the better. This is a step that, you know, I love to use that other private practice owners don't. They just go, you know, H for leather, and they go down to the medical clinic and start spruiking about themselves. But we're doing pre-work here because that's not how we roll, is it? So you do that first of all. Second, what I want you to do is really reflect on what your values are, okay? So I know this isn't something that many of us ever give much time to, but it's very, very, very important that you do. Just like we've done pre-work around what our ideal client is and what we really want to work with in terms of presenting challenges or problems or, do you know what I mean, case presentations, and what we don't want, we want to take that same approach and apply it to these meetings with potential referrers. So take that exercise that you've got in the previous episodes around finding your ideal client and apply it now to your ideal referrer, okay? So I want you to, I'm going to explain what it is. Don't worry, you don't have to backtrack and find out what episode it was, but I want you to get a piece of paper and put it into two columns. On the left-hand column, I want you to put everything you loathe about having these meetings, everything you loathe about the vibe, everything you loathe about the questions you're going to be asked or the people or the experience, you know, how you feel, etc. All the yuck stuff I want you to put on the left, okay? And then when you've done that, and allow yourself time, right? It might take you, like, I was showing some of my clients this week, I was like flipping through my book, I had like 4 pages of things I don't want. So yeah, don't feel like you've got to jam it all into one page. You just go until you've got it all out of your system. And then on the other column, all I want you to do is write the exact opposite, line for line. Okay. So if you've said something like, you know, you don't want, so the heading is what I don't want at these doctors' meetings. And one of your things might be doctors who don't engage. So on the right-hand column, you're going to say doctors who engage. If you say doctors who don't talk to me, you're going to, on the other hand, say doctors that talk with me. If one of the things that really bothers you is doctors asking you about Medicare rebates and, you know, using that as an issue, then on the other column, you're going to say doctors that are not fussed about Medicare rebates and don't see it as an issue, right? So by doing this, you're going to start to create a picture of your ideal referrer, okay? Now, you only need 3 ideal referrers, so it's a good exercise to do. And I'd much rather you have two or three amazing referrers that you love working with, that equally love working with you, than you've got a spate of 20 that give you higgledy-piggledy referrals that might not be appropriate, might not engage, might, do you know what I mean? Let's just avoid all of that. So I want you to do that activity. That's step two. I know, do you love it so much? This is so much fun. Okay, so once you've done that, you've got this really clear picture. So then what I want you to do is really think, have a look back over the right-hand column, type it up nicely and neatly, keep it near your desk, and refer to it often, just like you do for your dream client. And what I want you to do is really think, okay, if I was having a conversation with this doctor or with this clinic and they loved me and I loved them, would I be showing up with my pens and my fridge magnets and my flyers? Probably not, right? Because why? Because you're past that. You've got a relationship that you're working on cultivating and deepening, right? Do you see what I mean? Taking all that promo stuff, it's a rookie mistake. Don't do it. We want to be deepening the relationship. So I know you're probably thinking, oh, but I haven't actually met them yet, so I don't actually have the relationship. And here's what I want to bring you back to. Remember, when we're talking about soul work and we're talking about energy and we're talking about higher consciousness, you and I both know we are all already connected. We are all already connected. All we're doing is we're just tuning in to the energy of the connections that are right for us. Okay? That's all we're doing. So we're already connected on that energetic level. Of course, the doctors are going to need to know basic things like your name and how they refer to you and things like that. So all I would encourage you to do is, if you want to take anything, hide it. Do not display it and put it, keep it in your briefcase, keep it in your bag. Do not bring it out unless it's the right time. And what I would recommend you do is you have maybe 20 copies of a very basic flyer. I would just jump into Canva and use an infographic, keep it in black and white apart from your logo. And on one side, divide this flyer into two columns. On one side, have a little paragraph about you, right? And not your CV, not in the third person, okay? Like, I do not want to say Brooklyn Storm, PhD, has a doctor of philosophy in psychology and counseling, and she has a master's of counseling psychology, and she does this, and she does this, and she does. No, who cares? People are going to want to relate to you. So with mine, I used to put a picture of, you know, Gabe and I, because I thought that's personal. So I put a picture of Gabe and I, and I would just say, hey, Brooklyn, like you, Brooklyn lives on the Mornington Peninsula, and when she's not busy helping people, she and Gabe are often found walking around the park in Hastings. If you see her out there, you know, jump over and say g'day. Something simple, all right? At the very bottom, if you want to, you put your signature, and underneath your signature list your qualifications if you like. And then under that, write one tagline about who you help. And don't be general. We've already done podcast episodes on niching. I don't want to see people say, I help children, teenagers, you know, preteens, post-teens, adults, women, men, the age. That, no, don't do that, because it means nothing and they can't refer to you because you're being too vague. And don't say, I help self-confidence, anxiety, depression, schizophrenia, weight, blah, blah. Stop. Like, you're not helping yourself and you're not helping your clients by doing that. It's scarcity mindset that's keeping you doing that. Stop. What I want you to do is get your messaging right, and you have that messaging front and center, okay? And straight away, any potential patients that go into that doctor's room, and the doctor will know exactly who you work with, okay? And then on the right-hand side of the sheet, all I want you to do is do a little flow chart of how to refer, if you're going to have a flow chart. So give the doctors clear instructions about how to refer to you. And do you know what? If you want to ask yourself, what is the easiest way for this doctor to refer to me? What is the easiest way? Okay. Now, it might be that you give the doctor a bunch of referral forms that the doctor can just scribble on, give to the client, and the client's going to call you and book their session. That might be the easiest. Or if you want to put the phone number there, right, you can do a great big black box with the phone number in white and say, here's how to refer in 60 seconds or less. Make it super easy, because if it's easy, the doctors will do it because they're pressed for time. They don't want to be doing an intake call with you on the phone about their patient or anything like that. They don't want to be going to your website, you know. Some will go to book an appointment for their clients online, but if you've set up for booking deposits, then it's just going to be awkward for everybody. So don't really think about what's the easiest way for this doctor to get that referral made to you, okay? Because that's what you want to talk about. And then once you've got this referral flyer done, I want you to laminate it. Now, you can get a laminator for $10 from Kmart. The laminating sheets, I think you get a pack of 50 for $10. It's going to cost you not even a $20 note to get this done. And what's going to happen is you're going to look super professional. You're going to keep those in your handbag, briefcase, wherever you keep them. Stash them. Do not let the doctor see them. I want you to have that ready to pull out when and if the time is right, okay? So that's kind of your pre-work there. And if you want me to have a look at it, I'm happy to do that. Just message it to me on Messenger and I'll have a look. As I said, I check emails once a day. So if you need me to look at it before then, and I don't check it on weekends or after hours, but if you want to send it to me on Messenger, I'm happy to have a quick scan of it and give you some feedback. That's not a problem. So let's say you've done your prep and you've got all of that sorted out. So you've got your lunch booked in. You know who your ideal referrer is. You've got your laminated, you know, how to make a referral flyer ready to go. You've got about 20 of them because you don't know how many treatment rooms are there. You might want to get reception to put, you know, a couple around reception, you know what I mean, like high traffic areas, all of that sort of stuff. So then let's fast forward to the day of the meeting. So that's the day of the meeting, okay? What you want to do is look professional when you go and see the doctors. They are used to seeing people turn up in suits, okay? Now, I know you might not be a corporate person and that might not be how you roll, but it's how the doctors roll. And so you need to find a balance of what feels authentic for you in how you want to turn up, but what's also going to be received. So just make sure that you're well presented, okay? Have a shave, brush your teeth, comb your hair, use the hairspray and a bit of lippy if you need to. A collared shirt can go a long way. It's these simple things that sometimes either we don't know, or I think for me, like I'm a bit of a boho hippie, as you probably have gathered. Love all my, you know, fisherman's pants and stuff like that. And that's how I turn up to my sessions, but that's not how I'm going to turn up to the doctors. So what I do is what did I wear the other day? So I've got this rusty orange dress. So I just had a meeting with doctors on Monday or Tuesday. Anyway, it was earlier this week. And I wore my boho dress, which is like a rust color. It's silk. It's got spaghetti straps. And then it's like, it's just long and it's like a maxi dress. But what I did was I threw my, blazer. I threw my blazer over the top and I just pushed the sleeves up to like halfway between my wrist and my elbow. Do you know what I mean? So still be yourself, but meet them halfway. Like you've still got to look a little bit professional. Anyway, so do that. No open-toed shoes. So just simple things about how to present yourself, because if you look like, well, me, if you look like a bit of a hippie when you go to these meetings, probably not going to get the referrals that you want. So, yeah, make yourself look presentable, okay? No heavy perfumes and do not smoke before you go in. yeah, don't do that, because you're going to be in a small space handling food and everything. If you can hold off, hold off. And don't even think if you have mints and breath spray it's going to work. It doesn't. We all know what it's like to be with clients who've had a cigarette and then they come straight in, and we haven't had a cigarette. It's like pungent. And if that's the experience that doctors are going to have of you, they are not going to refer clients to you, because they'll go, I wouldn't put my client in a room with that stench. Like, it's not good. Okay. So that aside, how to approach the meeting. This is like the meat of it. When you come in, all you're going to do is, if you've bought the lunch, sure, put the lunch in the middle of the table. Go and get yourself a glass of water, and you're just going to wait, okay? They don't all turn up at the same time. They all have the same time approximately within about 2 hours blocked off for lunch breaks. So you're going to get trickles of doctors coming in usually, okay? One or two might sit down with you. That's fine. But I'm just setting it up for you so you don't feel like nobody turned up. They will come in, as I said, in dribs and drabs. What I want you to do is start a conversation with the doctors almost as if they are a client. Now, I'm not saying treat them as if they're a mental health client, but they are going to be a business-to-business client, aren't they? If they start referring people to you and you start accepting referrals from them, you have a business relationship. So you want to treat them as a business client, okay? And so, just like you would with any other client, I just want you to put your pens down. Don't even take pen and paper. Keep it in your handbag. Just all I want on that table is your glass of water, because I want you to be present and I want you to be paying attention. I want you to engage. If you're scribbling notes, it can be disruptive. So just sit down with your glass of water, and all you're going to do is just imagine in your mind that you're working through your very own intake assessment form, okay? And you're just going to adapt it to work with, you know, this type of client, a doctor as a client. So all you're going to do is you're just going to open up the conversation with, hey, it's so nice to meet you, you know, how are you, blah, blah, blah. And then you're going to start building rapport. So you're just going to say, so, you know, it took me a little bit of time to find a park today, you know, oh, have you had that trouble with the traffic too? Have you been working in Mount Eliza for long? Have you been working in Hastings long? You know, find out, be curious. How are you finding it? Yeah. Do you work anywhere else? Some of them do, some of them don't. Do you work at any other clinics around here? Blah, blah, blah. Oh, yeah. Have you moved to the area recently? Oh, there's some great schools, you know, da, da, da. My kids go here and da, da, da. Or if it's not about children, then you say, oh, did you know there's this really awesome coffee shop? And it's a bit out of the way, but it's totally worth the walk down. So maybe next time we catch up, I'll take you down and I'll show you. You're going to love it, right? Just building that rapport, which you are all highly skilled at doing. That's all you're doing. You're just having a chat and getting to know them, okay? And then you're just going to lead straight into, like you would with a normal intake form, you're just going to start to ask them about like their pain points. Well, we don't say pain points, but you might ask them, you know, what are their challenges in the business? But you say it not, you say it in a way like this. So I guess I would love to know, you know, how are you coping with everything in terms of the pandemic? And they might say, oh, what do you mean? And you might say, well, you know, I've noticed that there's been a large increase in the number of presentations at my practice for anxiety related to restrictions or not being able to see loved ones or not being able to go to funerals or whatever it is, right? I was just wondering, like, is that reflected in your practice too? Are you seeing that too? And they're probably going to say yes, right? Because we know there's been like an 83% increase in, you know, teenage presentations for mental health since, well, I'm talking about Victoria here, but I'm sure it's similar across Australia. But they're going to say, yes, I have. And you're going to say, oh, yes. So how are you responding to that? And they'll say, oh, what do you mean? And you might say, well, you know, most people getting medication for that, or are they getting, you know, you connecting them with psychologists or mental health social workers? Like, you know, how's that all going? I've heard that there can be wait times sometimes, and is that your experience too? Or what are your challenges with supporting clients with this? Leave it open. Be curious, right? That's your, all I want you to keep in your mind is be curious. Ask questions. And they're going to say, oh, yeah, actually, you know, I normally refer to this one particular psychologist, but she's fully booked and she's, you know, I've got clients on 6 and 9 month wait lists with her. And you're going to say, oh, geez, you know, what's that like for you? Like, how are you dealing with that? It must put you in a tough position because I guess you're the primary carer for this person. And the doctor's going to say, yeah, well, I guess I have to see them. Like, I check in with them weekly or fortnightly, you know, just to kind of keep tabs on them. But yeah, it is an issue in our area. So you're just getting curious about what the doctor's experience is, about how this is affecting their patients, about how it's affecting their doctors to not be able to connect their clients with help at the moment, if that's what's going on for them, for example. And then that's where you come in with a solution, right? Your practice is the solution. So you're going to say, yeah, I know it can be so hard, and I've seen this a lot too, but if it helps, have you considered maybe getting some of these people, some of these patients connected with counselors? And the doctor's going to say a few things, right? Depending on who they are and what their angle is. And I'll talk you through how to respond to them. So first off, the doctor's going to go, well, psychologists do counselling and mental health social workers do counselling. And you're going to say, oh, yeah, that's true, they do. And they do a lot of other things too, don't they? Like they diagnose and they assess and, you know, they use all those evidence-based approaches. But, yeah, counsellors, though, are specialists in counselling, right? That's all they do. Day in, day out. Counselors are the specialists in counseling. And there are so many counselors available right now to support exactly these patients with these types of problems that you're talking about here, like the anxiety and depression, you know, around the pandemic at the moment. So I wonder, you know, if it got to be easy for you to make a referral to a counselor, what would that look like? Like, what would you need in order to make that referral option easy for you and viable for you? What would you want to know? And they might say, well, are counselors qualified to, you know, work with people who have anxiety and depression? And you can say, well, they are. Counselors are specialists in counseling. And you can use yourself as an example and you can say, look, I am a member of this body or that body. So you might say, AHCA or PACFA or ACA or ACCA or whoever it is. And you might say, oh, they've got these standards and codes of ethics and things like that. You know, it's parallel in some ways to other allied health professions. So yeah, absolutely, we can support your clients. So that's the first thing. The second objection that you might get is Medicare. So some doctors will say, well, I'm hesitant to refer because my patients can't get Medicare if I send them to you, can they? And so this is where you speak to the value of your service, not to the Medicare rebate. So you say, well, that's true. However, they can get private healthcare rebates, and sometimes employers will actually fund through EAP, for example. You and I know that. Sometimes employers will actually fund sessions for patients. So if it's work-related, that's absolutely another option. Plus, we can also see clients who are, you know, under victims of crime and things like that. And you say, often what's happening now is people that are booking in sessions at my practice are happy to forgo a rebate because they want help now. They don't, you know, they can't wait 6 months or 9 months for an appointment. They're really wanting help now, especially for their children, you know, or whatever it is. Especially for their children, we're finding that they're happy to pay the fee, etc., etc. And so, you know, do you think that of all the people you've got on your waiting list, there might be, you know, one or two that'd be happy to, that would really, 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 really want and need help now for their mental health and their well-being? you know, irrespective of the rebate. And he might say, yeah, actually, I can think of a couple. You say, great. And then maybe he, you know, goes on about the money again. And all you do is you say, do you know what? It's a really funny thing about the money, isn't it? We just don't know how people like to spend it. And in my experience, I've worked with people who, you know, were unemployed right through to the rich and famous of the corporate world. And in my experience, what I found is people spend money on the things that are important to them. And so if their mental health and their well-being is something that's really important to them, then they find a way to make this work. Okay. And also between you and I, what right do we have to assume people can and can't afford services? Hello. I mean, I made that mistake when I was just starting out of assuming that people were booking in for bulk billing sessions because they couldn't afford me. It wasn't true. That was my own faulty thinking. How do I know it wasn't true? I know it wasn't true because I used to skip appointments and then come and tell me later on, they turn up for their session with braided hair and a suntan telling me how they just spent 3 weeks in Bali. I mean, they just bought a new car and stuff like this. Like, we can't make assumptions about how people spend their money. It's always disempowering to do that. And we want to be empowering for our clients. So it's up to them. And doctors and us should not be making assumptions about what people can and can't afford or what they will and won't spend their money on. So you say that in a nice way, right? You say that in a nice way, or a way that will be likely to be heard. And then you ask the doctor, you know, so if you've got these couple of patients that you feel might need help now and, you know, would be happy to see a counsellor now, what would need to happen next, do you think, right? Get them in the mindset of taking action on this. Right, coach them through it. If you're a coach, use this as a coaching opportunity. Give them an example of how you work. Coach them through how to make that referral. Coach them through their objections to referring to you. What do you think would need to happen next? Oh, well, I guess, you know, some of them are coming in for the next appointments, da 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 da. And then they're probably going to say, do you have a business card? And you're going to say, actually, I have something better. And that's when you're going to reach into your handbag and you're going to pull out these laminated posters and you're going to sit down and you're going to go over it with that doctor. Right? You're going to say, oh yeah, look, hey, here's me and my dog, or here's my cat and I, or here's me at the pier in Frankston, or whatever it is, right? And it's got your tagline of who you help. And then the doctor's probably going to say, oh great, you help with anxiety. Amazing. That's exactly what we need. Do you also help with this, that, or the other? And that's your opportunity to say, yes, I do, or no, I don't, but I know someone who does. And you can share those referrals with clients in the AC, with clients, with other members in the ACPPO. And you just jump into the group and you say, guys, I've got a potential referral here for someone that needs trauma work online. I don't do it. Do any of you provide this work online? And are you accepting referrals? And connect with each other, support each other in your private practice, because you're not going to take every referral that comes your way. Anyway, so this is how the conversation goes. And then you say, you check in with the doctor, you explain to them how to make that referral. And you say, does this feel easy for you to make a referral this way? And the doctor will probably go, oh yeah, that's pretty easy. I can do that. And ask, be curious, is there an easier way? Because I'm happy to zig to your zag. And let the doctor think about it, because this builds engagement, right? And when they feel like they've been part of the solution, they're going to be more likely to engage with you, right? And send you those referrals. And they'll probably say, no, that seems pretty straightforward. What's your availability like? And you say, great. Well, do you know what? I'm seeing clients online at the moment, as you know, most of us are. If you want to do face-to-face, of course, share that as well. And just say, look, I can see people as early as next week if you need. I keep a couple of appointments open for people who need help more quickly. So that wouldn't be a problem. Could absolutely do that if the client was available. And so do you see how you've started that collaboration? And then you know, you're going to say to the doctor, well, hey, it was so, so great seeing you. And thank you so much. So you're going to do that. From here, I guess what I can do is pull together a couple of resources for you on mindfulness or something like that, and I can just drop them off at the practice for you in a few days. Would that be helpful? And I'll say yes or no. Do you know what I mean? You want to have an action step that you're going to be reporting back on. So that might be, I'll get some, I will create a flyer for you that's got five amazing apps to help adults, pregnant women, men, you know, teens, whatever, with anxiety or depression. And, you know, I'll drop it off to you during the week, see how you're going. If you need anything, here's my number. Have you got your phone there? And he'll go, oh, yeah, I've got my phone. Or she'll go, yeah, I've got my phone. You say, great. Look, I'm just going to send you a quick text now. So you've got my number. Save it in your phone. If you need me, give me a call. Here's the link to my Facebook page, right? Feel free to check in there when you get a chance. And that way you'll get all the updates of availabilities and what we're working on and how we're helping and all of this sort of stuff as well. And I've checked into your medical clinic page so that I can keep in touch with you and abreast of what's happening here. Sound good? And they're going to go, yeah, it sounds great, blah, blah, blah. And then what you're going to do is leave, okay? Don't overstay your welcome. Short, sharp, leave. Your whole meeting should not take longer than 10 minutes. Conversation, not meeting. Keep it really short because you have to understand those doctors, unless they're in a private billing clinic, are under the gun to bill as many appointments as they possibly can. That's why so many of the clinics look like they're double booked. They have to do that to account for the amount of no-shows. So anyway, they're going to be pressured, so don't take up too much of their time. They don't work like we do. They don't work in hour or 50-minute increments. They work in 10-minute increments, so try and keep it to that. And understand they're probably going to be trying to wolf down some food and a coffee at the same time. So from there, all you're going to do is you're going to come back, you're going to reflect on what felt good, what didn't, what worked, what didn't, okay? And you're going to look at your list again of your ideal referrer, and you're going to go through it in your mind's eye, and you're going to say, did this doctor meet most 80% of this criteria? Is this somebody that I want to invest my energy in? Getting referrals from? What was the vibe of our conversation? What was the vibe in the room? Do you know what I mean? And allow yourself to be guided by that. And if that doctor's not a good fit, let it go. Focus your energy, trust in the process, trust in the universe. The right referrer will come along and they are going to love you and they're going to keep you busy. Okay. So that is how you have the meetings with the doctors, and you do cultivate a relationship. You can't just do a first date and then disappear and ghost them and then expect to get roses and chocolates. It's not going to happen. You have to, I'm just using a dating analogy, obviously, you have to have a few dates before the relationship starts to develop. And that's a mistake that women in private practice make. They go and they have these one-off meetings and wonder why nothing ever happens. It's about building a relationship, and a relationship isn't always about work. It's about other things as well. And that's why there's value in understanding who that doctor is as a person. Do they play tennis around here? How do they feel about the golf restrictions being lifted? Wasn't it funny about the toilets? Build that relationship. And then next time you see them, put a golf quote in your email, or a golf joke on a sticky note or something. It's about building that rapport, building that relationship. Stop seeing doctors as up here and you're over there. No, remember, when it comes to soul work and spirituality, we are all equal. We are all connected. We are all more alike than we're different. Anchoring to that and you're going to be just fine. But remember, keep nurturing that relationship. So maybe another journal prompt might be, how many ways can I nurture the relationship with this dream referrer that I've just found? And when you've brainstormed how many ways, make one action, make, you know, the first brainstorming thing could be next week's action step, and the second one could be the action step for the following week, and so on. Okay, this is what you want to do. It's about building those relationships. And guess what? You've got Christmas coming up as well. The holidays are coming up as well. If you haven't done it, now might also be a time to start thinking about appropriate, if you're a gift giver, appropriate ways of gift giving for Christmas. And as I said, when it's with a referral like this, don't do something boring like a mug with your logo on it. Again, who cares? If this doctor has said to you that they love golf, send them a pack of golf tees. They'll appreciate that because it shows you took the time to get to know them. Or send them a golf ball with their name on it, or whatever it is, personalize something just for them that has nothing to do with business and nothing to do with work. This is how you're going to deepen that relationship, okay? Or a Christmas card with Santa playing golf on it, if that's your thing. But you get where I'm going with it. So there's more training on this in the Australian Counsellors in Private Practice online group. So if you're not a member of that, come and join. And if you want me to have a look at your flyer before you go to the trouble of laminating it and taking it out, and you're just unsure of how it looks and how it feels, etc., let me know. As I said, I'm happy to look at it. Just send it to me as a document on Facebook Messenger, and I'll have a quick look at it for you that day and give you some feedback. And yeah, this is going to be a game changer for you, okay? But as I said, I do it differently to everybody else. And this is the way that I do it, that works for me, that works with my coaching clients. And so I know it's going to work for you as well. It's just different, okay? I hope you love it so much, and have a beautiful weekend. And I'll look forward to talking to you again on Wednesday. Bye, everyone. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Private Practice with Soul podcast today. If you're looking for clarity, if you need help with branding your processes and bringing everything into alignment with your soul's purpose for your private practice, head to the show notes and click the link for more information about the Private Practice Monthly Mentorship Group. You are going to love it. I can't wait to see you in there. Thanks so much for listening. Bye.